Seated. Thank you for the water, Brother Tom. If you've got your outline there, looking at it, number one, the introduction. We see number one, the introduction here in Revelation. And under that, under Roman numeral number one, we have number one, the presentation. The presentation. And the presentation found in verse number one is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation. The Greek word translated, blank line, revelation. The Greek word translated, the revelation, is the word apokalypsis. Okay? We would know it as we get our word apocalypse from. Apokalypsis. And the root word means to reveal, to unveil, to disclose, manifest, and make known. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ came the first time, His glory was veiled. It was, if we could say, hidden. Very, very few people recognized who was born in Bethlehem's manger. Amen. That was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But when He comes back, when He comes back in the clouds, ladies and gentlemen, He is going to be unveiled, revealed in all His glory. That's what Revelation is here. We see the introduction, the presentation, the Greek word translated revelation, to reveal, to unveil, to disclose, manifest, and make known. Not only the presentation of Revelation, but the purpose of the revelation. The purpose of the revelation is also found in verse number one. It says, to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. We looked at that word servant when we studied the book of Jude. It's that Greek word doulos. It was literally a bond slave, a slave or a servant. And ladies and gentlemen, can we say this? Today, there are very few people who have a slavish relationship to the Lord. But we ought to serve Him who is worthy of our service. Amen. It says here that He is to show unto His servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And so we have here on our outline, God is showing, blank line there, His servants, before they actually happen, the things which will most surely and speedily happen. If we could say it this way, in our modern vernacular, He's giving us a heads up. Amen? He's giving us a spiritual heads up. Hey, because what happens is, after you get chapter 4, verse 1, Brother McGee, these things start happening like this. They just start coming one after another after another. So, Revelation here, the purpose of Revelation in our introduction here, is to show the things which must shortly come to pass to His servants. Number one, the presentation. Number two, the purpose. Number three, we see the penman. And we spent a good deal of time on this last week, so we'll not spend too much time here. The human author of Revelation is the Apostle John. Okay, we see that in verses 1 and 2. It says, "And by His angel, He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bare record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ in all things that he saw." And I don't know about you, I try not to have favorite books of the Bible, but boy, I'll tell you what, you never go wrong having the favorite of the Gospel of John, Pastor John, amen. The Gospel of John, the things which God allowed John to see, I'm so excited. This week in our miracle, one of the great miracles is, I call it Peter's fishing story, amen. When Peter was told to cast in a hook and there would be a coin in the fish's mouth, but next week is the story of the man born blind, only recorded in the Gospel of John. Amen. And John recorded the things which he saw. And I love the end of John. I believe it's John 20:31 says that there's not enough room to contain all the books that would be written if all the things were to be written about Jesus Christ. And so here, the penman is John. Number four, we see the promises. The promises. The promise to be blessed by God and we see it in verse 3. It says, blessed is he. Okay? And then, by the way, there's, I believe, 7 instances. I don't quote me on it. Maybe 8 where there's Beatitudes of Revelation. If you have a Bible program, you can look it up real quick. Just look up Revelation and blessed. I think there's 7 different promises to the person to be blessed in Revelation. But it gives us three different instances here. We are blessed if we look at verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. We stated last week that Revelation is the only book that God promises a blessing to him that reads it. Amen? Boy, that's a reason just to read Revelation right there. Amen? Have a blessing for reading it. But there are 2 other things here. Not only read it, but then it says, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Okay? Hear the words of this prophecy. 7 times in Revelation 2:1 through 3:22, and we know that as the church age, the letters to the churches, we'll look at each one of those. The reader will see the phrase, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Ladies and gentlemen, it's one thing to read God's Word. It's another thing to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Amen? And we need a spiritual ear to do that. If we could say this, we need to clean the world's wax out of our ears, amen, so that we can spiritually hear what God is saying to us. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God speaks, but to be blessed, we must spiritually hear. Okay? So we see there's a promise to be blessed to him that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, but then also they that keep those things which are written therein. And it's very strange. Pastor John and I were talking about this today. If you look at the next line, reading, hearing, and obeying will produce blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, that is basic Christianity 101. Read the Word of God. Hear what God is saying to you and keep what you know. Do what you know is right from the Word of God. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Amen. Says it right here. The presentation, the purpose, the penman, the promise. Number 5, the prophecy. Verse 3 says, they that hear the words of this prophecy. What do you mean, this prophecy? The idea of Revelation here, it is the summing up and consummation of all prophecy. In it, all unfulfilled prophecy is fulfilled. Last Sunday, we preached on the millennium. And as Brother Becker and I were talking after the service, I said, Brother Becker, I just touched the hem of his garment on the millennium. Ladies and gentlemen, I could have literally, I have books in my office that are 400 pages thick on just the prophecies of the millennium. You know what happens in Revelation by the time we get to the end? Every prophecy in the Old Testament is fulfilled. Amen. Every last one is fulfilled. So we have our introduction. Our introduction, the presentation, the purpose, the penman, the promise, and the prophecy. Number 2 on the second page here, we see not only the introduction, but we see the salutation in verse number 4. It says, John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. Boy, I wish I had time to preach on just that last phrase. Look up Isaiah chapter 11:2 if you want an idea of the 7 spirits, spirit of wisdom and the spirit of knowledge and all those spirits of Isaiah 11:2. It's such a good study. Number 1, under the salutation, we see the partakers. The partakers. 7 is the great number of spiritual perfection. Spiritual perfection. I have a book in my office. I'll tell you what, the fellow who wrote that book, E.W. Bullinger, and you'd go by E.W. too if your first name was Ethelbert. Amen? I tell you, you'd definitely go by that. That man was a scriptural genius. I tell you what, Pastor John, if you've ever read any of Bullinger's work, they're the kind, Brother Holy, they make you go like this after you're done reading them. Your head hurts, amen? Just you think, my goodness, did God endow that man with knowledge. But he talked about the number seven being the great number of spiritual perfection. It is prominent in Revelation and is mentioned 52 times in 31 verses. Number seven. Okay. Revelation was penned by John to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Okay. Revelation was penned by John to the seven churches. The number seven is mentioned 52 times in 31 verses in Asia Minor, which we know as a modern day Turkey. Okay, modern day Turkey. No, not Thanksgiving Turkey, the country of Turkey. Amen. Asia Minor. Okay, and we have here the seven churches written, okay, and they're listed in verse 11. We have the church at Ephesus, Ephesus, okay, and then we have the church at Smyrna, and I know some of you are writing, so I'll go slow, amen, the church at Pergamos, Pergamos, the church at Thyatira, fourth church. The church at Sardis, that blessed church we know of, that brotherly love church, the church at Philadelphia. And then that last church, that church at Laodicea. And we will be spending a Wednesday night on each one of these churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. They're described, and we'll get into each one of those and look forward to that. But who is it? What's the introduction? Well, we talked about that. What's the salutation? Well, it's from John to the seven churches. They're the partakers. And then lastly, we have the declaration in verses 4 through 8. We have the declaration, not only the introduction and the salutation, but the declaration. Here we have a beautiful description of our Savior as seven things here, and I'm sure you could probably find more. But in verse number 4, as we have the salutation, it says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. And then if you jump down to verse 8, it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Number one there under the declaration, our Savior is described as eternal. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. That Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8 says. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is eternal. He was and is to come. Amen. So he's eternal. Something else we find in verse number 5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, we find out that our Savior is faithful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad he's faithful. Amen. Number 3, something else we see there. It says that he is the first begotten of the dead. You know what he is? He's original. He's the original. Amen. Not only is he eternal and faithful, but he's the original. 1 Corinthians calls him the first fruits of the resurrection. Christ, the first fruits of our resurrection. The first one to be raised from the dead unto glory. Oh, some were restored in the Old Testament. We know that. Of course, the old bones of Joseph. Amen. The stories that of Elijah and Elisha raising folks from the dead. But you know what? They died again. Amen. Lazarus died again. But Jesus Christ rose to live forevermore. Amen. He's the original. He's not only eternal and faithful, he's original. Number 4, we learn from verse 5 that he's the prince of the kings of the earth. He's royal. He's royal. That's our Savior. And so many times we refer to him, and justly so, as our Savior and our God. But he, ladies and gentlemen, he is the King of Kings. Amen. The King of Kings. He's royal. Oh, I love this, the end of this verse in verse 5. It says, Him that loved us and washed us from our sins. And by the way, those of you that are maybe a little upper class, that word washed is supposed to be in there. It's the right word. You go to New Translation, it'll say loosed or freed. There's a big difference between loosed and washed. Amen. I don't mind if my pants are loosed, but I want them washed. Amen. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ washed us from our sins in His own blood. You know what else He is? He's sacrificial. He's sacrificial. He didn't have to be. Remember that next time you get your bees in a bonnet. Or your bonnet and the bees, or whatever they call that. Amen. Next time you get upset about something, listen, you remember that our Savior was sacrificial. Sacrificial. Sacrificed for you. Something else we find in verse number 6. So beautiful. It says, He hath made us kings and priests. You know what else He is? He's bountiful. He's bountiful. Jesus Christ doesn't have to share anything with anybody. He's God. But He does. He does. He shares. We learned about it during the millennium, that not only will Christ be reigning on earth, but you know who else is going to be ruling and reigning with Him? We are. Because He's bountiful. He shares His bounty. Something else He is, for those that are lost, He's fearful. For the first time in many of their lives, they will fear God. It says there in verse 7, that behold, He cometh with clouds, and that refers to His revelation, not with the rapture, amen, but when He comes back to rule and reign and with a rod of iron. And it says, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Why? Because He is coming to judge. He's fearful. And then we have verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. A great quote here I'd like to read from H.A. Ironside, tremendous Bible expositor. He said, in the 8th verse, it is the Son who speaks. And now He declares Himself to be Jehovah also. One eternally with the Father. He is Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the ending. He created all things. He will wind up all things and bring in the new heavens and the new earth. He is and was and is the coming one, El Shaddai, who of old appeared to Abraham, the Almighty. May our hearts be occupied with Himself and His return be ever for us that blessed hope. Amen. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Father,